Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for March 15th, 2016. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'm talking with Giovanna Tosato about a peptide that promotes inflammation in blood vessels. IL-23 is a cytokine that's composed of two subunits, one called IL-23P19 and one called IL-12P40. IL-23 has been implicated in inflammatory diseases like Crohn's disease and psoriasis. The endothelial cells that line blood vessels make IL-23P19, but they don't make IL-12P40, so these cells can't produce the IL-23 heterodimer. New work from Giovanna Tosato's lab has shown that IL-23P19 on its own stimulates inflammation by binding to the cytokine receptor GP130, which leads to activation of the transcription factor STAT3. Tosato spoke to me from the National Cancer Institute in Bethesda. Hi, Dr. Tosato. Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast.
Hi.
Can you tell us just a little bit about IL-23, what it is and what it does?
Yes. So IL-23 is a cytokine that is composed of two chains. One is called P19 and one is called P40 that are held together by a number of bonds. It is produced by cells derived from the bone marrow, like monocytes and activated monocytes, macrophages, and it is secreted, and it acts through a receptor that is specific for this molecule, although it is composed of two different chains. It signals through this receptor activating the JAK STAT3 pathway. Physiologically, it is important in the defense against bacterial infections, but much of the attention on this molecule has been placed now on its role as a contributor to the autoimmune function of T cells.
As you mentioned, IL-23 is heteromeric. It's made up of two subunits that associate with one another.
Yes.
So in this study, you found that endothelial cells, the cells that line arteries, make just one of the two subunits. They make only P19. They don't make P40. And that this tiny little protein, P19, has a function on its own. What does P19 do?
We have found that in endothelial cells, only this component of IL-23, only P19 is made. And the other characteristic is that this molecule is not secreted. Secretion does not occur. This molecule stays inside the cell. And it acts as an intracellular pro-inflammatory molecule.
Why isn't it secreted? Does it require association with its partner to be secreted?
It absolutely does. When it is present on its own, even if you force the cell to make a lot of it, either because you express the gene or even if you induce with inflammation the target endothelial cells to make a lot of it, it stays inside the cell. We and others have tried and it doesn't come out. It needs to associate with the other chain in order to be secreted.
And so since it's not secreted, it's not activating its receptor on the surface of cells. How is it activating signaling in the cells that produce it?
So this is really kind of interesting, and there are some precedents in the literature. But this peptide, this P19 protein, signals from inside the cell. And what is interesting is that it associates with a signaling molecule that is called GP130 that serves as a signaling component by a variety of other cytokines. And so it associates and binds to it from inside the cell. And GP130, this signaling molecule, is present both inside and as a transmembrane protein. And P19 binds to it when it is not associated with the cell member, when it is inside the cell.
When P19 binds to GP130, is it activating the normal signaling pathways downstream of GP130? Is it activating the same pathways that a cytokine that binds extracellularly?
It does. GP130, when it is a transmembrane protein, recruits some signaling partners, JAK and STAT, and this is what P19 does. It associates with the JAK and STAT pathway and activates STAT signaling. And first induces phosphorylation of GP130, and then induces the phosphorylation of STAT3, which then, once activated, migrates to the nucleus and does what it usually does, which is to activate certain genes that are targets of this signaling mediator. And there is a precedent for this. There is a molecule that, in many respects, has similarities to P19. And it's a peptide made by a herpes virus called HHV8 or KSHV that causes certain tumors. And this cytokine made by the virus does the same thing. It associates with GP130 inside the cells and activates the same pathway as P19 does.
Before we talk about the effect of P19 signaling in the cells, I'm curious what causes endothelial cells to produce P19? When do they make it?
So we found that a small amount of P19 is actually produced continuously by endothelial cells, at least in vitro, and probably also in vivo. But if you then expose an endothelial cell to a variety of inflammatory signals coming from bacteria or cytokines or whatever, the amounts of P19 being produced go up tremendously. And this is true both in vitro, if you take an endothelial cell, or if you look at the situation in tissues of certain patients that we have studied that have a lot of inflammatory signals around.
After P19 is made and it binds to GP130 and induces JAK-STAT signaling, what effect does that have on the endothelial cells? What's the output of that signaling?
So the most clear consequence of P19 activation in an endothelial cell is that it expresses on the cell surface a series of molecules that are called generically adhesion molecules. And these adhesion molecules increase in number and in their activity on the surface of activated endothelial cells. And in doing so, they can induce the attachment of leukocytes that express certain integrins. And these are molecules that grab to the endothelial cells that express these adhesion molecules. And so the consequence of expressing more P19 in an endothelial cell is that inflammatory cells, especially T cells, attach firmly to the endothelium. And once they attach firmly to the endothelium, they also go through the endothelium through a process that you have to think as a transmigration. So it's like you have a barrier and you go through it. The consequence of this migration of lymphocytes and other cells through what normally should be an intact endothelium is that they go from the bloodstream into a tissue. So you have the migration of inflammatory cells into a tissue that normally shouldn't have these inflammatory cells.
And how is that relevant to any specific diseases?
So we have focused on a disease of a medium-sized artery. It's the temporal artery. It's called giant cell arteritis that affects mostly females in their 50s in general. And it is a serious disease. It's a serious systemic disease that causes initially just headaches, and it's a remitting disease, comes and goes. And then the arteries become small, so you can have little strokes. It can affect the aorta, and you can have aneurysms, and therefore this is a very serious complication. And what we have found is that the little capillaries that feed these temporal arteries become the place where a lot of P19 is being made. And therefore, through these capillaries that feed the main artery, there is a lot of inflammation that comes in. And this disease is really characterized by a lot of inflammation on the vessel wall. So we have figured out how it is that the vessel wall of the affected arteries in this disease become inflamed, because the endothelium expresses P19. No P40 there, no other component of the L23 molecule, just P19.
Do you have any idea why patients with that disease are expressing more P19 in their endothelial cells? Do they just have more inflammatory cytokines?
They certainly do. They have a lot of inflammatory cytokines, both in the circulation and locally. Why that is the case, we don't know. But what we can say is that P19, once it is produced, clearly is a major contributor, we think, to the progression of this disease and to the symptoms the patients have.
Giovanna, thanks for speaking with me.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, Annalisa.
That was Giovanna Tassato discussing a paper published in the March 15th issue of Science Signaling by Espigol Frigole and colleagues. You can read that article online at stke.sciencemag.org. The Science Signaling podcast is a production of Science Signaling and the American Association for the Advancement of Science, advancing science, serving society. If you have any comments or questions, you can write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. I'm Annalisa Van Hook. Thanks for listening.